This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. We're so glad that you have joined us today, and we do pray earnestly that this broadcast is going to be a very, very special blessing to you. If you're a Christian, we pray today that you will be lifted up, that something in your heart will be rekindled if it need be, and that's called the first love for Jesus, our great Savior and Redeemer. And if you're not a Christian today, we pray that you will be our special guest and listen to why we love the Lord and why we serve the Lord and why we sing these great songs of hope and joy and praise to honor our God and to indicate to whoever will listen that we have a faith that produces great joy, peace, confidence, consolation. Amen. There's nothing in this world that can compare to the love that God has shown us when He gave us Jesus Christ, amen, to die in our place on the cross. We want you to know what that death represents, what it means. We want to be talking to you today about Jesus, our Redeemer. Praise God. I can't wait to get into this. You can tell I'm chomping at the bits today. I want to get into this message because it is a message that can transform your life here and your destiny throughout all eternity if you don't know the Lord. And if you're a Christian, it's a message that can get you on a firm foundation of faith and confidence, amen, in what Christ has done in your behalf, that you might be able to boldly stand upon His Word, claim every promise in the Word of God, and declare the gospel to whoever will hear it today. Praise God. Amen. If I wasn't a preacher, I'd be preaching anyway, so I guess God decided I might as well to call Him and anoint Him and appoint Him. Praise the Lord, because this is too good to keep to yourself. By the way, you don't have to be standing in a pulpit. You don't have to be wearing a coat and tie. You don't have to be using a microphone to share this gospel, to proclaim it, to preach it in a sense. Amen. All you have to do is be excited about what you have in Jesus. And that's how the gospel is going to the world. Praise the Lord. Amen. I want to speak to you today from Romans chapter 3 and verse 20. But just before we do on the subject, Jesus our Redeemer, if you would like to come to our website, just type in THCOG on any good search engine, preferably Google. It's the biggest and the best, in my opinion, and many others. And it will take you to the Holy Church of God right here in Tampa, Florida, where this broadcast originates, where I have been pastor for going on 38 years. And there are sermons from live services on various topics of interest, and there are recent editions of Let's Talk About Jesus, and you are welcome to come and download or listen online, and there are no charges, no strings attached. We would love to have you come and share with us around the Word of God and listen to His Word, praise God, just from His book written as men were moved on by His Spirit about His Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. Well, we're going to talk to you about Jesus our Redeemer. Romans 3 and verse 24 says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Powerful, fundamental, foundational word here. Core issue of the Christian faith is that Jesus, through His redemptive love and redemptive act of taking our place on the cross, has brought justification by the grace of God. We can be justified. This is a forensic term, and we're not going to deal with all the other words right at this point in time, but justification and sanctification and all of these wonderful descriptive words of our state after we become a Christian and our position before the Lord, none of these words would have any effect if that foundational work of Jesus hadn't been accomplished, called redemption. In the Greek, it is a word that means to ransom in full. It means riddance and deliverance. But I like the first explanation of this word, to ransom in full. Without redemption, the other great words that describe our condition and position after being saved would be absolutely of none effect. That's why this understanding of this word, and not just this word, but what Jesus did for us at Calvary, is so vitally important. It's a core issue of our faith. You know, I just met recently with three other ministers that I meet with every Tuesday. We're part of something called All Pro Pastors here in this area in Central Florida that's expanding. If you're a pastor and want to know more, just type in All Pro Pastors. It'll take you to that website. And ministers meet in an intimate setting on for breakfast on a day that they choose and try to work together to encourage one another and work together for the sake of the gospel and the kingdom of God. And we're from different denominational background, some of us. And the thing of it is, the core issues are that are central and crucial to the Christian faith are not compromised. We can come together around these core issues, and one of these great core issues is that Jesus has paid in full our sin debt. He has paid the ransom on the cross. He has redeemed us by His precious blood. Friend, today this is such a crucial core issue. If sin's debt is not paid in full, we are not saved, plain and simple. We could never be justified. We could not be sanctified. If we still owe a sin debt, then we are still enslaved by Satan. We are the enemies of God. There's enmity between us and our God. We're not able to enter into any kind of fellowship, relationship with God. We have absolutely no biblical or spiritual authority. We cannot be righteous before God. We cannot have faith in God. We could never approach God's throne with any semblance of confidence. We would be filled with doubt and fear about our future and our destiny. Thanks be to God. Jesus Christ has brought us redemption. Redemption, someone said, plays a central role in biblical theology. The basic shape of doctrine is formed in the Old Testament, but the full meaning of all that God has had eternally in mind is unveiled only in the New Testament. So what we're going to do in this teaching is examine three great Hebrew words that describe and are translated to redeem or to ransom in the Old Testament. And we're going to bring that in a comparison to what Jesus has done for us at the cross in the New Testament to redeem us. The first word is spelled P-A-D-A-H in the Hebrew. It's a primary root, means to sever, in effect, to ransom. And it was used commercially to indicate a transfer of ownership. The transfer came through a payment of some equivalent or some equivalent transaction. The price, friend, has been paid in full by Jesus for us to be transferred in terms of ownership from serving the devil to serving Him, from Satan's influence to the influence of Jesus Christ and God the Father. From light and darkness have come in conflict, and we've been translated, the Scripture said, out of the powers of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Here's how this word has been used literally in the Old Covenant. Listen, Deuteronomy 7 and verse 8 said, "But because the Lord loved you, and because He would keep the oath which He had sworn unto your fathers, the Lord hath brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. You see that word to sever, to ransom, a transfer of ownership. This is my people, and now you're trying to hold them captive. He said, you let my people go. Hallelujah. Amen. They were set free to serve God. We are severed from Satan and sin's bondage. God's people knew that they were a special people who had been delivered by God's intervention. And now they were His unique possession. The New Testament calls us a peculiar people. You may think we're weird, and that's what that's talking about. I'll say they're peculiar. No, that's not what it's talking about. It has to do distinctly with the fact that we are a people who have been ransomed by the blood of Jesus in order to obtain this standing with God, this saved condition that we are in. We are peculiar in that we are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. The ransom has been paid, and we've been severed from Satan's ownership and from Satan's influence, praise God. And we have been brought into God's great kingdom. Before coming to Jesus Christ, the scripture said Satan could actually claim an ownership of us. John's Gospel, chapter 8 and verse 44 said, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. The NIV brings that home in a very precise way. It says you belong to your father the devil. Amen. This ownership gave Satan great influence and advantage to hold us in bondage and servitude. But Ephesians chapter 2 brings that out. In chapter 2, let's look at that together. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Listen, friend, now that you've come to Christ, if you're a Christian, we've been set free. There has been a transfer of ownership that severs us from the devil's power, authority, and influence. He simply has no claim on us. Colossians 1 and verse 13 says, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And verse 14 says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Praise God. I like what the Amplified says about it. It says, the Father has delivered and drawn us unto Himself out of the control and dominion of darkness, and has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Hallelujah. We now belong to God. We are now free to serve Him. We are now sealed by the Holy Spirit. Listen to what the Bible said and how redemption plays into this. In Ephesians chapter 1 and 13, the last part, it says, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And in verse 14 of Ephesians 1, it says, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Sealed means to stamp with a signet or a private mark for security or preservation. The sealing process establishes ownership and assures authenticity. Praise God. I talk a lot about being an authentic Christian. And the seal of our authenticity is that God has granted unto us the Holy Spirit. It's the earnest of our inheritance. This word earnest means a legal and commercial technical term meaning first installment, deposit, or down payment that pays a part of the purchase price in advance and so secures legal claim. To the article in question. And the article in question today, friend, is you and me, our soul and where we spend eternity. Praise God. In modern terms, this word is also used for an engagement ring in the modern Greek. the believer has fallen in love with Christ and is now betrothed unto Him. Praise God. Because we have been ransomed through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The sin debt has been paid in full. In fact, it has been canceled. There is a word that is used, and I speak of this very, very often, because when Jesus spoke from the cross and He cried out His great cry of accomplishment on the cross, He cried out, "It is finished." Literally, "It is accomplished." What is it? It being the redemption of fallen man. For all who will believe it, who repent and receive it, amen, the sin debt has been canceled. And all we need to do is repent of our sin to apply the benefit and blessing of that canceled debt to our life. Praise God. Hallelujah. We then become betrothed to Him and to Him alone. He cried one word that is the summation of all that He had did at the cross, and it was tetelestai. They tell me that archaeologists dug up an ancient urn from the very time that Jesus walked the earth personally, physically, before being caught up to heaven. And this urn had within it, perfectly preserved, a deed to property that had been paid off in installments. And because the last installment had been made, there was a stamp across that deed that indicated it was paid in full. And it was this word that Jesus cried from the cross, tetelestai. That means that the sin debt has been canceled. It's been paid in full. Praise God. And that's what redemption is all about. The paying of a ransom for a transfer of ownership. Praise God. I'm so glad today that I am not the servant of Satan, nor the servant of sin. I did not say I was sinless, that I never mess up and need to confess or repent. But I am saying that sin does not have dominion. I'm saying that the Scripture declares that sin shall not reign. Don't let it reign. Don't let it be the ruling influence in your life anymore. Because you've been severed from Satan. Hallelujah. He wants to claim you back. Amen. But he has no real claim on you. So the Bible said, don't give any place to him. Because if you don't give it to him, and I don't give it to him, friend, he has no authority to take that ground. I tell you, you set yourself to serve God. You set yourself to please God. You won't have to do it in your strength. You will give God the permission He needs. He won't force your will. But if you make up your mind, God will give you the strength in your spirit. He'll give you the inner fortitude in your inner man that you need to conquer this outer man. And through that defeat of the flesh, defeat your enemy. Because he has no legal claim on you. Give no place, the Scripture said, to the devil. Hallelujah. Reckon yourself. Count yourself as dead to sin but alive to God. Hallelujah. Sin is not the dominant influence in our life anymore. Satan just can't lead us around by the nose anymore. Praise God, because we've been translated out of the powers of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. We belong to the Lord. We have been redeemed. Hallelujah. Praise God. There's a second word, and it is G-A-A-L. And it means in the ancient Hebrew to redeemed by the oriental law of kinship. It places the emphasis on the relationship between the Redeemer and the redeemed. There's a term for that that comes beautifully into play from the Old Testament, and it is the kinsman redeemer. God didn't just forgive our sin and sever us from Satan, but He brought us into a fellowship relationship. He did it in a way that would express love and intimacy to us and for us. Hallelujah. We find this word in the ancient Hebrew in Psalm 19:14. It speaks of God as our rock and our redeemer, literally our kinsman redeemer. And in Exodus 6:6, it said, "Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem." This word is used, amen, of a kinsman redeemer. "I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgment." You see, redemption from Egypt was not only an act of purchase, but also an act of a kinsman moved by love. Jesus Christ in the New Testament is our kinsman redeemer. Someone has said the Son of God became the Son of Man that the sons of men might become the sons of God. This great story of kinsman redeemer is the most familiar story of all, and vivid is in the book of Ruth in the Old Covenant, where the beautiful portrait of kinsman redeemer is brought into such clarity. Deuteronomy 25:5 speaks of the law of the kinsman. It said, "If brethren dwell together and one of them die and have no child, the wife of the dead shall not marry without unto a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go into her. Take her to him to wife. Perform the duty of an husband brother to her. And it shall be that the firstborn that she beareth shall succeed in the name of his brother which is dead, that the name be not put out of Israel." Remember the story of Ruth? Boaz married Ruth and became her kinsman redeemer. The son of this marriage, Obed, the father of Jesse, became the father of David. Redemption reveals a helpless humanity, and redemption affirms a God whose love causes him to take the part of a near kinsman. Amen. And then there is a third word today in closing, and it is the K-O-P-E-R. It's translated ransom, and it's from K-A-P-E-R in the Hebrew, which means to make an atonement. The word has to do with the price of our redemption. In Isaiah 43:3, it says, "For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I give Egypt for thy ransom, and Ethiopia and Seba for thee." Friend of mine, Christ has been given for our ransom in the new covenant. The deaf have a sign for Jesus. The middle finger of each hand is placed in the palm of the other. Jesus, literally, the one with the wounded hands. And 1 Peter, we've been quoting that in a previous teaching so much, and I just can't hardly quote it enough. 1 Peter 1, verse 18 and 19, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from the vain conversation received from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without spot, without blemish." Redeemed here simply means, in the Greek, to ransom. It's found only three times in this sense in the New Testament. The Greek word, another Greek word, is found four times, and it means to purchase. This is an intensive word that could be used to portray the redemption of a slave, the buying, the paying of a ransom so a slave can be set free. Friend of mine, if you're a slave to sin today, I want you to know that Jesus came with the express purpose of paying the ransom so you can go free. You say, "Preacher, I've got a habit. I'm a slave. I'm addicted to cocaine. I'm addicted to barbiturates. I'm addicted to heroin. I'm addicted to alcohol. I'm addicted to illicit sex. I'm addicted to pornography. I'm addicted to gluttony. I'm addicted. There's so many addictions. And yet Jesus said, "I came to sever you from the one who holds you as a slave." If you think you can't be free, you got another thing coming. If you think the chains that hold you are too tight and too mighty and they can never be broken, that's because you've never encountered the power of God to break those chains. You know what happens when you repent of your sin and you receive Christ as your Savior? The Mighty One of Israel comes to live within your heart. And what you can't do in your weak flesh, you can do by His Spirit within. Hallelujah. The Bible said it's not by might or by power, it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. The mountain that stands before you, hallelujah, shall become a molehill, shall become a flat plain. Praise God. There's nothing too hard for God. And this power is released to you because of what Jesus has done in your behalf at the cross. You can go free from your bondage today because Jesus will sever, amen, that thing that holds you. He'll break those chains, hallelujah. Whom the Son sets free, the Scripture says, is free indeed. And you indeed can be free today. Hey, Christian, you can be free too. You don't have to be a slave to all the desires of your flesh now that you're a child of God. You don't have to allow inroads to be made in your life. You don't have to give ground to the devil. You have authority to stand your ground and plead the blood of Jesus Christ. For you've been ransomed. You don't belong. You're a purchased possession. You've been sealed by the Holy Spirit for the day of redemption. God says, you're my child. You don't belong to Satan and you don't belong to sin. You belong to me. And I've done it all through my redemptive love and Christ's redemptive work at the cross. It is finished. It's been accomplished. We now must receive it by faith. Praise God. Amen. Today, as we come to a close in this broadcast, Jesus wants to be your Redeemer. He's already paid the price. He's already accomplished everything necessary to save you and sever you from Satan and sin's power at the cross. And today He bids you to come just like you are, with your habits and your hang-ups. Don't wait and try to break these things in yourself. God doesn't expect you to break these chains. What He expects of you is to change your mind about the road that you're on, the path that you're on, amen, and to come to Him humbly and repent of your sin and ask Him into your heart. Give Him permission to come in. He won't violate your will, but if you will to change, He'll give you the power to change. The price for it has been paid in full. Come to Jesus today, right where you are, right in the mess that you're in. Amen. Say, Jesus Christ, I want to receive You as my Lord and my personal Savior. I don't want to serve Satan anymore. I don't want to serve sin anymore. And today, I repent of my sin. I do a 180-degree turn in the direction that I'm facing right now. And I'm turning from darkness to light. I'm turning from sin to You, Lord, from Satan to Jesus Christ today. And Lord Jesus, I pray right now that You will be my Lord and my Savior, and that every work of darkness be broken over me. I plead now the accomplished work of the blood of Jesus, and I declare that the ransom has been paid and this slave to sin has been set free. And I have a new master. Hallelujah. Praise God. And what a wonderful master He is. Today, Christian, lift up your head. Stand in your standing. Resist the devil. Hallelujah. And let's walk in the victory that has been provided for us at Calvary. Well, our time is gone. We love you today. Come back next week, will you? And let's talk about Jesus.